Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Auburn has hired yet another former Arkansas State head coach after hiring and firing two former Arkansas State head coaches.
Pipeline.
Is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the loser of the game. Congrats to the team up north. And with me, as always, is AJ. Matt Rule is Husker power. Mark Hazy.
Oh, I love the Rule hire. We said it was would be the best one for the memes, didn't we?
Having Matt Rule in the Big Ten makes me so happy.
He fits. He fits Big Ten country. Welcome, Matty.
Welcome, Coach Rule.
Oh, he hasn't earned Coach Rule for me yet, Rob. I'll say that.
He has to win six games.
Six games to get into the Big Ten West, win the Big Ten West.
Today we're talking all the NFL draft prospects who snapped, dapped, and capped during week 13 of college football, the last regular season week. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving out to KC maybe, looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team, let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song. Today's episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying not to let the funk out. So much funk was let out on Black Sunday as several FBS programs relieved their head coaches of their duties. I think the most surprising one was David Shaw, although not fired, resigned from Stanford after, 11 years?
Yeah, didn't see that one coming. Do you think it was, getting pushed out at all, or do you think it's just...
The Athletic wrote an article, and apparently they talked to two high-up administrators prior to the BYU game, asking if Shaw's job was in danger, and they said no. So... I don't know. It's been hinted at that he was planning to kind of resign.
Yeah.
I know the guys on Split Zone Duo kind of hinted at it the last couple of weeks. I'm interested to see if he ever coaches. Because we know how good he is on the doing media for the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he just kind of steps into a role. And, I mean, he's a Stanford alum, coached there for so long. Can you really see him getting back into head coaching? He's still only 50, though.
He seems older because he's been around for so long.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to the Chris Peterson when he stepped down in Washington.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, he's still young enough that he could coach for 10 more years. And I know his name's actually come up for the Stanford job.
Mm-hmm.
But him, both Shaw and Peterson, kind of similar makeup to me in that they don't have that true, this is... by no means a slight. I actually view it as a positive, but neither of that true football coach mentality. They're both very forward thinking, well spoken guys. Not to say all football coaches are poorly spoken, but
So a bunch of meatheads is what you're calling the rest of the FBS coaches. Yeah.
I'm going to run through all the fired and hired and a couple names that have popped up. And you can you stop me when you want to talk on something. How about that?
All right. That sounds better.
So Shaw resigns at Stanford. Some of the names up for the job are Ravens OC Greg Roman. Baltimore fans would be happy about that. Texans OC Pep Hamilton. Michigan OC Sharon Moore. And the aforementioned Chris Peterson. Willie Taggart's out at FAU after 3 years. Some of the names up for that are Florida A&M head coach Willie Simmons, Ole Miss OC Charlie Weiss Jr., and Florida State offensive coordinator Alex Atkins. The mighty Jake Spavital, done at Texas State. San Marcos needs a new man in charge. Some of the names are Wazoo OC Eric Morris, UNC OC Phil Longo, West Virginia OC Graham Harrell.
Those all seem like too big for Texas State, but whatever.
I agree. It's weird. Like, Texas State is a very underfunded program, too. I think it's Lake Travis. Like, they use Lake Travis's indoor facility. and Spavital's even said last year that their weight training center only has 10 power racks, while the high school has 48.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Lake Travis is a powerhouse, so.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Phil Montgomery out at Tulsa, despite a 10-win year in year two. That was a while ago now. And that's Zaven Collinger. Some of the names up for this are Incarnate Word head coach G.J. Kinney, former quarterback.
That's the one.
Texas receivers coach Brennan Marion, former receiver there. And former Virginia Tech head coach Justin Fuente.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Also, Marcus Arroyo out at UNLV and Tim Lester out at Western Michigan. Chris Vanini and Bruce Feldman haven't written the articles on who could be up for those gigs yet. So
the Arroyo firing is like, what do they expect him to do?
It was a bad hire at the first place. Like, he's the guy who, I mean, Mario Cristobal as well, but Marcus Arroyo was the play caller when Justin Herbert was totally misused at Oregon for several years. I don't know. I feel like UNLV to me is such a strange job because you're in Vegas. That should be marketable to some extent.
Definitely. There's obviously, you know, there's legit high school programs in Vegas, like
like Bishop Gorman.
Exactly.
And I feel like it should be a program that really takes advantage of the transfer portal.
Yeah,
but I don't know. That is a weird one. Is it a sleeping giant a la Colorado, or is it just really bad?
Probably the latter, but it'd be fun if they're good.
Western Michigan also, Tim Lester being out, Western Michigan's churned out a couple quality head coaches in recent years. That's not a bad MAC job.
No, it's a pretty good one. I know, like, they were, you know, a bit down this year, but
They lost some legit talent, Skymore included.
Yeah, exactly.
On the other side of it, a couple hirings. Luke Fickell shockingly leaves Cincinnati for Wisconsin. Some of the names up for the Cincinnati job are Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell, Wisconsin DC Jim Leonard, Michigan OC Sharon Moore. Hugh Freeze leaves Liberty for Auburn. Some of the names up for the Liberty job are Coastal Carolina head coach Jamie Chadwell, Indiana's Tom Allen, and Arkansas's OC Kendall Briles.
Oh, God.
Then Brent Key was retained by Georgia Tech after going 4-4 as interim. And Coach Rule was hired at Nebraska. Cornhuskers are back. And Kenny Dillingham, hired by Arizona State, which I think sneaky, awesome hire.
Yeah, that's your guy. Go talk about your Dilly guy.
Well, one, Arizona State's a legit sleeping giant.
Yeah.
Because that state is had such a population boom over the last decade. And you're seeing more and more quality, not just recruits, but quarterbacks specifically come out of Arizona and leave the state, spurn the Pac-12. And so hiring a guy who, one, is from Phoenix, two, his alma mater is Arizona State, three, he just had a successful season as the OC in the Pac-12. I think that's and four, he's 32. Like, I think this is a sweet hire for a long-term rebuild coming off the Herm Edwards fiasco. I don't know. I might have fallen for him during his press conference. I quite liked what he was saying. I think he gets it. I think he understands the marketing side, especially in the era of NIL and the transfer portal. So I think that's a very good long-term move. It might not pay off for 3 years, but I like that one a lot.
For Fickell, pretty surprising. I mean, when they first, you know, brought in Jim Leonard, we talked about, like how poor would he have to be to not be the permanent head coach? And I don't know if he was bad, but, like, I guess when you can land Luke Fickell, you can land him. I think that's a pretty perfect fit. It feels like we've been just waiting for Fickell to enter the Big Ten for a few years now. And then on the flip side, candidate you didn't name, I think Cincy should go after Brian Hartline. Maybe too big of a step, but I think that's the one. I think that's the perfect one.
I don't think he's ready.
Of course you don't. Jerome Moore's not ready either, so.
Just also, kidding. I think Wisconsin hires Jim Leonard if they can't get Luke Fickell.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
But the other thing is, too, Jim Leonard, like, I don't think it'd be shocking if Fickell wanted to retain Leonard as DC. I don't think that would be the most shocking thing to see Jim Leonard take that gig. At the same time, I could see him going to the Packers, who are still in need of a DC.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be a solid hire for Cincinnati, which is funny if they just swap.
It'd be really fun if they just swap. I just think that Leonard can get a better job than that DC gig back there, you know?
I do, too. I think that would be purely because he loves Wisconsin.
Yeah, I respect that.
Who doesn't, though?
He should be the Packers DC, though. You're right.
I do really like... I think Sherrone Moore would be a really great hire for Cincinnati.
He would. Almost as good as Brian Hartline.
And boy, has the shine come off Matt Campbell.
Yeah, what is up with that? Like, being... like, is Cincy an upgrade over Iowa State? I guess so.
He's from Ohio.
Yes,
I played know. At Mount Union. Like, that stuff makes sense. I do think it's easier to recruit Cincinnati, too.
Yeah.
Especially with the move to the Big 12.
Yeah.
Also, Auburn, I don't even want to get into the Hugh Freeze thing. I think it's gross negligence to hire that man as a head football coach, agreed. Given not only his NCAA infractions, but his off-the-field garbage as well.
Yeah.
Like, he is a – I don't know. That's just so Auburn of him, though.
On the field, I don't even think he's that good of a coach, so I'll say that.
Oh, he's very overrated.
Yep. I've never been a Hugh Freeze fan. They lost
three straight. Even on the field. Did you see Liberty's last game of the year?
Embarrassed.
Fans chant and go to Auburn? Liberty's also a weird job. I really hope Jamie Chadwell doesn't take it. I love Jamie Chadwell.
Yeah, that would
Liberty's
suck.
A weird school. Very weird religious ties. Worth noting, their president is the guy who was president at Baylor when that stuff went down. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ugly.
Brent Key isn't a sexy hire for Georgia Tech, but, like, if they're just trying to get to 6-6 every year, I think that's fine. Yeah, it sounds like they missed on, like, they couldn't get Willie Fritz to leave Tulane, and this was the fallback.
Willie Fritz would have been a great hire.
Some people were reporting it was happening, and then I'm guessing Tulane just upped the ante. Tulane low-key has big donors.
Of course. The Bensons are donors, aren't they?
I'm a donor.
Go green.
Go green wave. Okay. Now we have to get through the Senior Bowl, East West Shrine Bowl stuff. Then we're into the meat of the show. We'll fly through the meat of the show.
Okay. Sounds good. We really want to talk coaches and
the coaching and the Senior Bowl stuff just purely because I love talking about it. I hate the actual show.
Let's do it.
All right. Senior Bowl acceptances offense. Then we'll do defense. Cincinnati receiver Trey Tucker. South Alabama receiver Jalen Wayne. Cincinnati tight end Josh Wiley. Utah offensive tackle Braden Daniels. Ole Miss guard Nick Broeker. Notre Dame center Jarrett Patterson. I just love naming a bunch of people in a row. That's why this show exists.
I think next year we should just save it until, like, the whole team's announced and we have you read the whole thing off.
That'd be pretty good for me. Good test of my will. Who do you like from that first bunch?
Honestly, I was just listening to you name names. I wasn't even paying attention.
My favorite is Utah offensive tackle Braden Daniels, who I think is a guy who could probably kick inside at the next level. really athletic space player. I think perfect for his own running scheme. I think he hits the ground running. I think he'll be a big time money maker at the Senior Bowl.
Pick it. Who's my guy?
Josh Wiley's your guy.
Yeah, Josh Wiley is my guy.
We've talked about him for a handful of years. Guy who's going to test well.
I think so.
Really long.
I think that's just a great move for Wiley, though. Like, deep tight end class, good tight end class. Him getting to the Senior Bowl, I think that means a lot for him.
Yeah, he's just like been Mr. Consistent.
Yeah.
During the Bearcats run, and
that huge, I think he could season be a never sleeper. Yeah, he can. Like, as a move tight end, like, that huge season never really happened, but he's been really, really productive.
He's going to test really well as well.
Yeah,
he is. Defensive side, Georgia Tech defensive lineman Keon White, Central Michigan edge rusher Thomas Inkoum, South Alabama corner Darrell Luter, Kansas State corner Julius Brents, Iowa corner Riley Moss, two-time Senior Bowl acceptancer, Penn State safety Jair Brown, and Iowa safety Kevon Merriweather.
Interesting group. I think Jair Brown has had quietly such a great season, and he's a guy that could be a big riser at the safety spot.
I dug in a little bit on his All-22 tape today. I think it's an interesting safety class, and I think he's going to be a guy we both really love, and I think he's going to be a big riser at the Senior Bowl. A guy who's a good combo of physical but super athletic. He was on the freaks list.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I think if you watch Penn State games, that shows up. Like, and I don't know. Like, even in their, you know, the Michigan and the Ohio State game, I thought he had good games at both of those too. Like,
yeah, I watched the Ohio State All-22 today, and he looked great.
There you go.
Riley Moss, another guy who's big time producer at Iowa, apparently going to test off the charts. And it's just funny because he accepted for the Senior Bowl last year, ended up using his COVID year to go back. Now he's back at the Senior Bowl. This is a big one for Jim. Now some East-West Shrine Bowl acceptances. Just a couple. Tulsa running back Deneric Prince. Michigan tight end Luke Schoonmaker. Grand Valley State offensive lineman Quentin Barrow. San Jose State defensive lineman Valami Fajoko. And Ball State corner Nick Jones.
It's a good haul for a Galco and company there. Got to start with my guy, Luke Schoonmaker, baby, who's had a really, really productive season for Michigan. Has been banged up the last few weeks, but just like that's like a guy that you're just going to take in, you know, day three, and he's going to stick around for so long and just be a really solid blocking tight end that's not going to drop balls.
And Deneric Prince, a guy we talked about in recent weeks, the Texas A&M transfer, who's been quite productive at Tulsa the last couple of years, really blown up the last couple of weeks, I think is one of the most underrated running backs in this class and a guy who could go in the fourth, fifth round and provide some instant juice into a backfield with his combo physicality and burst.
Yeah, he's going to have a big week. And Fajoko, too. That's a good one. Fajoko. Can open some eyes big time, yeah.
All right. That's that. Let's get into College Football Week 13 superlatives, the final week of the regular season. Sorry. Army-Navy.
Akron Buffalo.
And Akron Buffalo. I don't know why that game isn't being played right now.
Why is it 1 o'clock on Friday?
But Buffalo played like 2 days ago, so like I kind of get it, but like at the same time,
I still don't get 1 o'clock Friday, but I love it.
It's a sweet tea. I don't know why they wouldn't have it lead into the championship, but hey.
Yeah, that would. Yeah, right. I played a halftime of the championship game.
It'd be cool. All right, best freshman. I got a lot of bloodlines between my freshman and sophomore this week, and I'm starting with Travis Etienne's brother, Trevor.
Yep.
Ran for a 129 to score against Florida State on Friday night for the Gators. He looks like the real deal.
I thought this was we've watched Florida not too much, but I think this was and he's kind of up and down. And I thought this was the first game where it's like, oh yeah, this is the real deal. Like this is the big time flashes. Had that a huge touchdown run to tie the game. This was the best game of his season for sure.
Yeah, but kind of more stout than Travis. A little more power behind the pads. Maybe not the same type of gliding running style, but but at the same time, very, very fun runner.
Hey, he still got that top end too.
And my other one, I went with Oregon State running back Damian Martinez, who is also a rugged runner. Ran for .003 against the Ducks in a crazy Beavers comeback in the Civil War, or game formerly known as the Civil War. And he's been really good all year for them. They just run the hell out of the ball.
They do. They do. That was a fun game. Yeah, he was good. I'll throw one more. I thought it was a pretty short week for freshmen. Too many sophomores to name, though. But starting with our first guy from the game, Colson Loveland. I've been talking up for a couple of weeks now. We talked Schoonmaker. He's been banged up. All's been out for the year. Loveland's come in and stepped up pretty big for Michigan down the stretch. I've been really impressed with his blocking. And then you saw him pop off of that 45-yard touchdown. So it looks like, you know, checks the athletic box enough. The hands are good. I told you, the top prospect out of Idaho. Let's go.
It's a made-up name.
It's a great name.
Are all the tight ends from Michigan named weird stuff?
That's true. That's true.
Okay, best sophomore. Caleb Williams had his Heisman moment.
He did.
You could name any kind of one of those insane plays where scrambled, he avoided the rush, scrambled, neither ran or threw a dime to Jordan Addison down the sideline. That game as a whole was his Heisman game. I think you could have argued that last week too, in the win over UCLA. But then I almost feel like more people were watching this one.
Yeah.
And because it's Notre Dame, it's USC. And just his ability to make the defense wrong when it should be right because he can avoid the rush and stay so calm and poised while backpedaling the pass rush, making a throw off platforms, making plays out of structure nonstop. He's just such a cheat code. He's like, I don't want to be like, oh, he's the next Patrick Mahomes, but
it looked a lot like him.
The only two quarterbacks we've really seen with this innate ability to, like, at least in the last, since Fran Tarkenton, are Patrick Mahomes and Caleb Williams. And I think given C.J. Stroud had a great year, and I just feel like it lacked kind of that big, that's the Heisman winner type moment.
Definitely.
And especially, he didn't even play poorly in the game.
No, he didn't.
But he obviously didn't do enough to win, and that's not on him. But I think Caleb Williams is the most important player to his team. His team is going to be in the playoff, presumably, if they beat Utah, because of him and Lincoln Riley.
Yep.
And this USC team under Clay Helton last year was 4-8. And I know they brought in a ton of transfers, and Caleb Williams chief among them, but like, I don't know. I don't think we've seen a guy transform a team the way Caleb Williams has. And he just looks, transcendent is an overused word, but the playing style makes you think that with him as a quarterback prospect. And he has 44 touchdowns on the season now after 4 against Notre Dame, completed 81% of his passes, made everything look so damn easy. The most insane plays, just, I don't know. At no point with Caleb Williams do you feel like it's going to go wrong.
That's so true, and I think that's like, I know. Look, it's a little too easy to say, but the only other quarterback that really feels like that is Patrick Mahomes, and you know we've seen a lot of great, you know, athletic quarterbacks, scrambling quarterbacks, but like the way those two do it is just different. It's hard to put your finger exactly on it, but it's definitely like the poise. It's just that feeling like, oh, okay, once he breaks the pocket or once he like is, you know, 10 yards deep in the pocket, this is not going to go bad. It's going to come, you know, something fruitful is going to come out of this. And like, even the way they both move, it's like they don't look that fast. I mean, I know Caleb Williams is a really good athlete and he's better athlete than Mahomes, but they don't look that fast. It's just like everyone else just looks slow around them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. That's his Heisman game. You can pick any of those moments. It's going to be the first overall pick next year. I know it's premature, but it'd be hard to see him not. He just feels like a perfect. You know what? You talked last week about how many like, you know, franchise quarterback traits he has off the field as well. It just feels too perfect for him not to be.
And then I got three bloodlines for best sophomore. Marvin Harrison Jr., per usual,
yep.
.020 in a score against Michigan. I thought he was the Buckeyes' best player. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was Clemson's best player in the loss to South Carolina.
Yep.
Had that pick six early. And then Moose Muhammad for Texas A&M in their upset of LSU. He was the go-to playmaker.
Definitely. What a one-handed catch he made there for the touchdown. Trotter was – I had Trotter on Harrison as well. Like, Trotter was unreal. That was his first, like – I mean, it's not like he's been bad. He's been pretty impactful all year, but that was, like, his first, like, holy shit game. And, look, the top sophomore of the week, I don't care if Williams wins the Heisman, it's Donovan Edwards, baby, with the damn cast on his arm. 216, like, most of it coming in the second half. Two touchdowns. Two long runs for the touchdown. Iced the game out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even think he was Michigan's best sophomore, but sure.
Yeah, all right. Sure.
I thought Rod Moore had hell of a game.
Rod Moore did have a hell of a game. He definitely did.
Michigan's secondary in general, but yeah, Rod Moore I thought was a big standard on that defense.
He was. I'm going to name another Michigan DB in a bit too. So.
Me too. Weekday Warrior. Lots of weekday games this week with it being Thanksgiving and all. I went with only running backs, and I went firstly with the Texas combo, Bijan Robinson, Roshan Johnson, who were true warriors, toting the rock 42 times combined for 256 yards and four touchdowns against Baylor.
Totally agree, and I think the other running back to go to here is Tyjae Spears, the Tulane back.
No, I saved him for small school because it was the only small school guy, but...
I put a Maxion guy. The last Maxion guy, I go Maxion.
Tajay, 35 carries.
Yeah, man. 181, two touchdowns. Just, that's a workhorse performance. He was just so efficient, I thought. So effective, you know, every time they needed to move the chains to kind of, you know, close out the game, he pulled it off. Spears has had such a great year. It feels like he's so underrated. Like, even not in a draft sense, but just in a college football sense.
Well, and in a draft sense.
Yeah, you know, and in a draft sense, but we've been talking about him. But yeah, no, I agreed.
Yeah, he's kind of, I think that the satellite back we're going to be loving. I mean, he's undersized, but he probably goes, what, in the fourth round and then instantly finds a role in the NFL?
Yeah, day three for sure. He definitely will. This is the guy that a bunch of people are going to fall in love with when they dig in.
And another guy who's kind of a low-key guy who I don't know if he'll declare, he's a redshirt sophomore, but Oregon transfer Trey Benson, who had three touchdowns and 162 total yards for Florida State in the win over Florida. Kind of a taller, high cut, one cut type of runner, but He's, I mean, all these Florida State players are really fun, but he had a great game. He's had a great year.
Yeah, I put him in the sophomore list. I just didn't get to him. But yeah, technically draft eligible. No, I had a really, really good game for Florida State.
Hey, look at us. We're powering through this thing.
I told you.
Getting to best offensive and defensive prospect, I figured you'd probably go with just guys from the game because you're biased.
I didn't put anyone from the game here.
Well, to me, the real game was the Iron Bowl, so I went with two Alabama guys.
I have the Alabama guy on defense, but on offense, it could have been Bryce Young, but I ended up going to Devon Shane, the A&M back, because I thought just that 38K, like, this is old school football, like, but like 38Ks, 215, two touchdowns, like that type of bell cow performance in the upset win of LSU, that's a top 10 team. That's a potential playoff team, Rob.
So many of the best college running backs were bell cows this week.
Yeah, which is a lot of fun. And, like, Shane's a guy that, like, you know, he's never going to have 30 carries in the NFL. I mean, even in you know, an NFL that, like, now is kind of like the running game's coming back in fashion. But that was, I don't know, man. That's a hell of a performance for like, I don't know if he's ever had this many carries in his career. But, like, just
yeah, no, he,
the way how physical he ran, I thought was so impressive.
I was going to say, like, obviously we all know him for the track speed, but, yeah, it was the consistency in which he was breaking first contact. And he had that one run down the sideline where he just refused to go down. It was like a 3rd-and-3, and he carried 5 defenders, pick up 10 yards. It was the things like that. I don't know how much his lack of size is going to impact him in this class, because just based on pure talent, he's clearly – like a top 50 player, I think. But just given that position and the importance of size for longevity, I wonder how that falls with him.
Agreed. But that's kind of why I think this performance is so impressive, almost 40 carries, being so physical. It just feels like that's going to be one where, like, a scout who's pounding the table for him for all the explosiveness he can do, maybe gets that old school football coach on board. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, he can haul the rock. I don't know. But yeah, what a game for Shane.
Yeah. I went with Bryce Young. He threw for 343, three scores, ran for another score in the Iron Bowl. It just felt like this was, he's the best quarterback in this draft class. He was hanging in that pocket, making every throw, exposing Auburn's secondary. He had that sick throw to, I think it was Ja'Cory Brooks. He had a couple big ones, Jermaine Burton. His ball placement and his poise, I think, just were on full display. And the arm talent, I think, is underrated with him.
Some of those throws were really, really impressive. I agree.
It felt like, maybe this says more about Auburn than Bryce, but it felt like more of the Alabama offense was clicking as a whole in this game, and Bryce Young was that point guard operating the thing, versus what we've seen him have to do earlier in bigger games this year, where it's like he has to put the entire team on his back because of the talent deficit on whether it be one game, the receivers, the offensive line, the next. Like, the lack of talent there, it's been a lot of Bryce Young having to shoulder so much and not getting to just show he's got the makings of that franchise quarterback who can consistently win from the pocket. And it just felt like this was a lot more like his sophomore year, where he was just hanging in, making every throw, and just everything felt so easy. Like, how it felt easy for Caleb Williams against Notre Dame, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I mean, we've talked about a lot about, like, the lack of supporting cast this year, which is shocking to see at Bama. But, like, and like obviously he had a good playmakers around him last year, but it wasn't like this, you know. Like, imagine Bryce Young in the Mac Jones year, like with those guys around him, like that would, like, this year's Bryce Young, like, that would have been absolutely wild. And yeah, almost feels like it's been a bit of a detractor for him. But no, I agree. This it felt like Alabama's offense finally woke up, and that's why they're going to sneak into the playoffs.
Hey, this team could beat Michigan probably.
Yeah, haha. No, Ohio State can't. So
this team could beat LSU. I'll say it. They couldn't beat them earlier, but they could beat them now.
Yeah, that's true. Defensive player of the week, I give to Will Anderson. How about you?
Yeah, I'm so happy. We haven't, honestly, I feel like, because Will Anderson is so good, we know he's so good, we don't talk about him as much as if he had kind of come out of nowhere and had the season he has this
exactly,
year.
Yeah.
So it feels right that we both land on Will Anderson as our defensive prospect
last,
of the week.
Last game of the year.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
And yeah, he just, like, Auburn just didn't stand a chance against him. Three TFLs, two sacks, two more hurries.
Yeah,
just he was in his bag. He is such a ridiculous combo of explosiveness, power, and then the hand violence and the motor. And, like, obviously Alabama has used him more as a problem solver this year, where they've lined him up in a variety of ways to kind of cover up issues in the front seven, but when they just let him pin his ears back and go, he's unblockable. It's like Khalil Mack at Buffalo-esque, his ability to do absolutely everything. And like there was one TFL in the fourth quarter where, like, TFLs aren't as sexy as sacks, but he was lined up on the edge and he takes on the tight end one-on-one and just discards him. And eats up the ball carrier for the TFL. And just things like that, where he's just consistently wrecking shit. And I'm just glad we got to talk about him one more time.
Yeah, for real. I know. When I wrote him down, like, that's kind of perfect. The Will Anderson, Jalen Carter for top player in the class debate, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, like, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with either of them. It's just, they're both so damn special. I put Carter somewhere later as a cheat, but just, yeah. I mean, I'm really glad. Like you said, it's just, it feels like we just didn't talk about Will Anderson as much because maybe like the stats weren't there, but like, you know, if he had a sack or two, it's like, okay, well, Anderson was the best player on the field, but let's give a new guy, the spot here. Clark Phillips, or like not to, you know, just naming guys. And then, yeah, it feels like this was the crescendo week, and he really outdid himself. Wonder if this was his last game at Bama. If so, a great way to go out.
Well, it's worth noting that Boo Corrigan says it is not necessarily the case that Ohio State would stay ahead of Alabama this weekend, even though neither team is playing on Saturday. So you know what? Alabama could be back in the playoffs. So
what the fuck does that even mean? Why would you put
them? Don't worry about it. As a Buckeyes fan, I'm so happy about this. don't put us in the playoff. All right. Shooting up the board. I feel like we have East Coast biased the hell out of Roma Odunze, the Washington receiver, who's been absolutely incredible this year, along with Michael Penix. Finished the Huskies regular season with over 1,000 yards, had like 700-yard games, went for 157 through the air in a score in the Apple Cup, plus that 5-yard touchdown run. They could not cover him. At 6'3", 200 pounds, his ability to sink his hips, I think, was perfectly showcased on that the stutter and go that he took to the house for the touchdown, where he sinks his hips, stops on a dime, and then just explodes through the route. This is a guy who, I know he's a redshirt sophomore, if he declares, he, in a wide receiver class, it's a little...
open still?
Yeah, let's say open. He's a guy who could seriously be a top five receiver in this class.
Yeah, no, that's a good take. I mean, you watch him, and what doesn't he have? The size is there, the speed is there, the production is there. A lot more production than a lot of these other top receivers. I mean, yeah, you watch Odunze, and I like, my only thing is, like, I'm not sure if he's going to come out, but if he doesn't, he definitely is in the top five wide receivers going to next year. And if he does, I think he's got the chance to be. I agree with you. Like, everything is there for him to be a top 50 type of receiver. I don't see why not. And I think you're right. I think it's just kind of, no one's watching Huskies football like they should be, except if you're on the West Coast.
And speaking of the West Coast, let's get out of there and let's get to the East Coast, where I went with, I had to put down Michigan center.
Yeah.
Oluwatimi, who I feel like deserves so much credit for Michigan's offensive line being somehow better this year than last year after winning the Joe Moore Award and leading them to the playoff. You're obviously the Wolverines fan. I'll let you wax poetic about the Virginia transfer in the middle, but to me, he's been like the MVP of this season outside of Blake Corum.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we talk a lot about how like a center can be a stabilizing force if you draft the right one. And, you know, he comes in and then, you know, the rest of the group is okay, but he just really elevates your group. And like you said, like, just this offensive line looks better than last year's, which is crazy to say. And I think that's what Oluwatimi has done, that, like not saying the rest of the group isn't solid, and it wasn't going to be solid anyways. It's just, I think he's just elevated them to a whole nother level. And, like how much they use, like, you know, the pin and pull game, and how instrumental he is in that, and his ability, you know, to get outside and make those key blocks, but also just like his ability on the inside too, like just straight up, like you know, the block to spring, the Edwards touched, I think it was the second Edwards touch or the first one, I can't remember, there's too many of them, but like, you know, just the key block there, like just to get out, like his movement ability. But like, it feels like, I know, like in the summer it was like, well, you know, Oluwatimi's really good to keep him, move really well. I don't know how powerful he is. I think, like, there's no, you know, I think he's checked those boxes too. He feels very, very well rounded. And I think he's still, I think Oluwatimi is very appropriately rated college football wise. Obviously won the Remington last year and has got a good chance again this year.
No, wasn't he just a finalist last year?
No, didn't he?
Linderbaum, I thought, won it last year.
Was he just a finalist? Anyways, when it give it to him this year, it feels like still draft wise he's underrated.
Yeah, I think so. It's last year, I think we had a pretty strong center class.
Yeah.
Yeah, Remington with the Linderbaum last year.
Okay. That makes
sense. Speaking of the strong center class, this year it's looking like a weaker center class, and he seems like a guy, I don't totally know where he'll be selected.
I don't know either.
But he has the makeup of a guy who totally either outplays where he's selected or instantly just is starting in the NFL.
Yeah. Like if Fortner can go top 100, and I like Fortner a lot.
He had a great game on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And I like Fortner a lot, but like I don't see a reason why Oluwatimi would. And like I was going to mention this later, but I have more there. John Michael Schmitz, the other another Big Ten center, Minnesota center, who I think is good. I haven't dug in on too much, but I saw him go 16th in a mock.
Yeah, that's insane. Like he's in that Fortner range to me.
I big totally agree.
Physical, yeah. Different player than Oluwatimi.
No, I'm not trying to knock down. Exactly, they're different players. I'm not trying to knock him down, but it's just weird to see a guy like him. And it's just one random mock, but it's weird to see him get put in a 16th overall pick, and I haven't seen Oluwatimi in a single mock.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying he should be a first-round pick. I'm just saying.
Keeping the conversation going. I thought Isaiah Foskey played a really nice game against USC despite the loss. And
he did.
If it was against a quarterback who wasn't nearly as mobile as Caleb Williams, I think he puts up an even better day, and he still had 2.5 TFLs and a sack and a half.
Yeah, and he had the awesome fumble chasing down the ball. It got overturned though, didn't it? I can't remember. I was so high from the game. But the rest of the college football slate just blew by me. Foskey, I wouldn't say he needed that game because he's had a really solid year, but like that felt like the game that like I don't know, reignites the love for a lot of people.
Yeah. Like again, speaking to just the brilliance of Caleb Williams, like there was multiple times, and this is not the fault Foskey. Like Foskey was getting so much pressure, and Caleb Williams just get away. And like Foskey was the only guy in that Notre Dame front getting the pressure.
Yep.
And Caleb Williams would just make a miss, and that I think again against a lesser quarterback, he ends up with several sacks.
Definitely, and like staying at Notre Dame, not too similarly, but Michael Meyer has always been the top tight end prospect in this draft and a top first round pick, but I thought he had like this was his just a big performance. 8 catches, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. Not that he needed it either, but it's another like Foskey just like is like, hey, I'm still really damn good and we're both gonna be first round picks, Drew Pine played pretty well actually, and but Meyer felt like he was helping him out a lot and like lots of contested catches, using that big frame. Yeah,
I think both speaking of both Meyer and Foskey in this game, they both use their frames and their hands so well.
Yeah.
Like, Foskey was doing such a good job working off blocks just with violent hands. Meyer was doing a great job winning contested catches with his strong hands. And, those two guys are top 50 talents and just happened to be on a team that kind of lacked a lot around them. But I thought it almost made it more impressive that they balled out this way in a game where without them, I think Notre Dame just could have walked on.
Yeah, they lose by 3 more scores without both of these guys. I totally agree.
Going back to the running back position, just quickly, I thought Deuce Vaughn had a really, really great game against Kansas.
He did.
Such a big play threat. A couple really splashy runs where he's so fluid in space, both as a pass catcher and a runner. But he also brings some underrated contact balance and physicality for a 5'6" runner.
Man, there's so many good running backs in this class, and it's so many like, pick your flavor type of backs. I love Deuce Vaughn. He went off again. It's gonna be fun to see what he does against TCU this week in the championship game. Yeah, he's so much fun. I was gonna name also, not to the same extent type of little satellite back, but Kenny McIntosh had another really good game for Georgia. Had a really big catch out of a wheel out of the backfield, which is his bread and butter there, but like just made an awesome adjustment on the ball and then like kept his feet going and had a big run after the catch and got them down to the goal line and then he punches it in. He's a guy that like it feels like he's gonna be. I don't know, man. Like this running back group is so deep and there's so many guys and like you're gonna find like one of these type of dudes that's gonna fall to maybe out of even the fourth round that shouldn't be out of the fourth round that are going to come in and be instant impact running backs. I think you're going to see a lot of those type of guys.
Agreed. Going with a couple defensive players now. Missouri edge rusher Isaiah McGuire was really good in the win over Arkansas. They got the Tigers bowl eligible. I really like him. He's just a great combo of power and violent hands. He had a chop rip for a sack early in that game that I thought was really impressive, and he's quietly a really strong season. I think a guy who's going to be at the Senior Bowl, I think he's going to be a guy who gets a lot of love as we get deeper into this thing. I also put three DBs, Mississippi State corner Emmanuel Forbes, mm-hmm. who was eating up everything in front of him in the Egg Bowl. He's a really just – when he sees it, he goes, whether it be attacking screens downhill or jumping routes for picks. He set the NCAA record for pick sixes.
That's kind of wild.
Not in this game, but just did that this year.
Yeah.
I think it's six. And I also put Christian Gonzalez – who Oregon State couldn't throw the ball, but when they did, he had a wicked interception.
Yeah.
And then a guy I liked over the summer who I think is going to be another quiet riser, Tanner Engel, the NC State DB, plays nickel, plays safety. He was a force against the run in this game against North Carolina. And it just felt like he was making every run stop around the line of scrimmage. And then late in the game, When North Carolina needed points, the game was tied. He intercepted that Drake made tip ball, and it was just a really impressive interception.
NC State defense showed up for big time this week. Speaking of the great state of North Carolina, I'm going to go to the South Carolina. I thought Zach Pickens showed up against Clemson. Had that big sack that we tweeted on the Seven Rounds in Heaven account on Twitter. Wow, we have so many followers now. Just discarding the guard, walked, you know, just easy. I thought like he's had like, you know, like there's a lot of hype for him in the summer, and he hasn't had like a big time year, but still just how big and fucking freaky he is going to get him drafted. Speaking of big and freaky, on the flip side, Juice Wells, baby. What another, what a game again. 9 catches, 131, 2 touchdowns. His emergence in the last 2 weeks has been huge, and he's helped himself more than any other receiver, maybe not named Rome Odunze, the last couple weeks of the college football season.
Yeah, he's like clockwork. I just put him as my transfer. He pops on the scene.
Yeah, he's great.
Always popping on the scene.
Yeah, he's got. If I can name one more player, I'm a fan of Savion Williams, the other TCU receiver, and I never see love for him. And like he, you know, 5 catches, 48 yards, and a touchdown. Not a monster game or anything, but like, I don't think he's some special dude. But like that big body guy, he's always winning.
Huge.
50, he's huge. He's always winning 50-50 balls. And like you know, mid late day three, you're gonna, you know, if you need one of those guys, I like him. I like Savion Williams.
So they've already got obviously Quentin Johnson, maybe receiver one, Darius Davis going to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Tay Barber's just been like their most consistent receiver for 5 years. I hope Savion Williams goes back for his senior year at TCU and just gets to kind of take that leap and be that guy, because he's really been their fourth receiver.
Yeah.
But he's such an impact fourth receiver. It feels
big
like.
Time. It feels like every game he's making like such a huge catch to like. Because every game they've been in is been, you know, they got to save their ass at the end or close to the end. And it feels like he's, like, always the one that kind of spurs that. Like,
yeah.
I think he's been great.
Want to get to sliding down now?
Shoot. Go for it. How many Buckeyes you got here?
None. I thought they put a perfect game. The refs robbed them. The long snapper messing up the fake punt robbed them.
Yeah, that's it. He's sliding it.
I had to go back to Zach Evans, just no showing in the Egg Bowl.
Yeah,
his role just has diminished. I know he's been banged up, and it's probably good in the long term that he has less carries. But I am interested to kind of see where his stock falls.
Like we just said, there's so many running backs. So I think, like, again, in the long run, as an NFL player, maybe not first contract, which hurts as a running back, but I think it's going to help him. But this year, going into the class with all these backs, I think it's going to hurt.
He is obviously one of the most physically talented guys, and he's had, like, he ran for 200 yards the week before in the loss to Arkansas.
Yeah.
And then, but between that was the Alabama game and this game. It's just been so inconsistent, kind of, and I'm just interested to see where everything ends up with him. And just, obviously, Quinshon Judkins emerging as this complete Nick Chubb-esque force. Impacted Zach Evans, but Zach Evans still almost, like, he ran for 899 yards, and just having no impact in the Egg Bowl was a little shocking to me after having no impact against Alabama.
I think you're going to have, you know, scouts come through and be like, well, you left TCU and they're making the playoffs, and then, you know, you're getting showed up by a freshman. What happened there? Like, there's going to be a lot of those, like, dumb questions, you know?
And the originally committed to Georgia, and they released him from signing, and
yeah,
yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. Speaking of Buckeyes, I'll give you a couple. The Buckeyes secondary, I knew the corners were bad. We all knew the corners were bad. Denzel Burke has had a really not good sophomore season after a great freshman year. Lathan Ransom and Ronnie Hickman really struggled, specifically Ransom, after that big game against Maryland. They were just getting torched. Jim Knowles just kept them in man coverage. Stacking and they're just the getting box. Torched. J.J. McCarthy was – it felt like he hit every big throw downfield.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was – so that was tough to watch for me. And I thought Cade Stover really – in a game they really needed him to be the tough guy because – if, let's be real. Ohio State's more of the finesse team. Michigan's obviously a tough team. Cade Stover was like kind of the tough guy for the Buckeyes all year with his ability as a run blocker and to make plays after the catch as a big body tight end. Just was not able to break anything after the catch. Wasn't as impactful as a blocker as I would have hoped. And he had two drops.
Yeah, I'll mention him in my out of nowhere prospect in a minute there. Agreed with you. I'm gonna prospect versus prospect matchup. I put the trench play, so we can talk about that more later. Me too. Yeah, of course it's gonna be. Come on, Sly. I know we've talked about him a lot, but the season's done. I just kind of wanted to put a bow on it. Keyshawn Booty just never had that impressive game. Like, and I know early seasons like LSU's a mess. You know the offense is bad. Blah blah blah. They were ranked fifth. Like this team wasn't that bad. Like he just didn't put it together and. I don't know. Like he had one game over 52 yards receiving, had one touchdown all year. Just for a guy that like so many people are like, yeah, this is the next dude and it's going to be a top 15 pick. It's gotten so disappointing that we barely even mention him anymore.
Agreed.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to go. I was going to jump to the Apple Cup if you don't mind.
Oh, so I thought everyone's sliding up the board in the Apple Cup to me, but.
Deion Henley just had such a quiet game other than that forced fumble.
Yeah, he did. I put him here too. I don't know. I'm not in on him.
I know you're not. I like him. When he accepted the Senior Bowl invite?
Yeah.
I like him a lot as a run defender. This was not a game that I think highlighted what he does well.
Yeah.
Because Washington was just throwing it all over the yard. But yeah, it felt outside of the forced fumble, and I forgot he got the 36-yard fake
punt. Oh yeah, the fake punt. Yeah. Okay, sorry, I'm in on him. Yeah.
But no, to me, when I say I like him, like I do think he's a really interesting story. So I think that's like led to more media hype. But no, he's like he's a day three.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, yeah.
But like, people were like, there was a point in the season where he's late first round, and now I think like people still kind of like day two-y. I don't know.
I don't know. He's a really like really good physical run attacking linebacker, but he's also lacks some size and struggles in space. And I think you saw that in this game.
Yeah, I think that's just hard for me to get behind a good run defending linebacker that's not very big and doesn't play in space for like that's just it's hard for that to translate. A guy who I thought should translate big time, and it's not like he's been particularly bad. I just felt like Gervon Dexter has not stepped up his game.
He went from having, like, what, the first...
Utah, I think it was, where he was just a monster.
Yeah, and then even after that, he had another game earlier in the year to where he has disappeared a ton.
Yeah, I feel like exactly, disappeared is a good word.
It's a good one. Yeah, yeah, it was like it was Utah, and then it was Kentucky.
Right, yeah.
And then, like, kind of... Yeah, yeah.
And then that's it. I haven't seen him. Like, it's just, he had a TFL against Florida State, but Florida State notoriously bad off the line, even though this one's not bad. But you just expect him to, to show up. And like we talked about, Benson had a really good game up the middle. They ran the ball well. At the very least, if he's not pushing the pocket, just, clog those middles with his big boy frame. And like the other Florida State, the other Florida D lineman is just a massive man too. I forget his name. I love him though. But those two in the middle, come on, there should be no running game. But anyways, Dexter is still so fascinating. But at one point in the season, early in the season, we thought like this could be a top 15 pick. He's he's maybe just behind Jalen Carter. Like that's big words. But now it's like Well, you know, maybe is he even a second round pick? And
should he go back to school?
Should he go back to school? Yeah. So that's just a disappointing year.
I feel similarly, not maybe on the overall season of Colby Wooden with Auburn.
Yeah.
But just every, you know, Auburn's bad as a whole. Every Auburn, it's just kind of quieter than I'm hoping from him.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very productive year, but like against Alabama, they were just, I talked about Bryce Young kind of just sitting back in the pocket and picking apart the Auburn secondary. Like, they were not getting to him.
Yeah.
And they ran the ball pretty well. Like, it was the classic Jahmyr Gibbs, really patient behind the line of scrimmage, setting up his blocks, getting north-south in a hurry, picking up 7 yards a pop type thing. And yeah, I think like Derek Hall was a little more impactful, but yeah, I thought Colby Wooden had a very quiet game.
Yeah, I think Hall had a couple reps where they, you know, popped but didn't get home or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I agree with you there. That's it for me. Do you got anyone else?
Who are all yours again?
I really just had Dexter Booty, Henley. Yeah, no, that's really it.
Dexter who?
Booty.
Keyshawn, oh, right. Duh. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, he's right. So nothing that, yeah, exactly.
Sorry. I put down Brian Brzee. I thought he had a very quiet game against South Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a little more of a deep cut. Arquan Bush was getting cooked against Tulane.
that's a deep cut, but that's a good one. That's a good one.
He's a guy who's like, this could be the best G5 corner. Yeah. And like, Cincinnati's been producing guys, and like, I think Arquan Bush is an NFL corner, but yeah, I thought he was really struggling against Tulane.
It's a good one.
And Josh Downs, very quiet game against NC State. Not all his fault, but kind of struggling to make things happen after the catch had a drop.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like sometimes it's tough to put on a receiver when the whole team is struggling. But yeah, no,
Yeah.
Yeah. Downs, it's going to be, I mean, I think we're both huge fans of his, but yeah. Anyone else?
No, that's everyone I got. If you want to get that out of nowhere.
Yeah. Out of nowhere prospect, a guy I've kind of been wanting to mention all year. And I think this is the game to do it. Mike Sanderschill from Michigan. Like you mentioned on Stover, he was the one to, what a play, knocking that ball out of Stover's hands, like full extension in the end zone. That was amazing play. And he's had a really good year. And if he looks like a real nickel prospect, like not early, but he looks like he can play. And if you know, if people don't know, he was a wide receiver his whole way up until converting this offseason. And 7 tackles, a couple PBUs, has been an impact player on the Michigan secondary. And he showed up in the game.
You know, also was a receiver all the way up to their senior year?
Who, Rob?
Sam Shields. And they moved to DB and played in the NFL. I don't know why I pulled that, but that's what I got for you.
That was my comp.
I put Mike S. and I put Cornelius Johnson on the offensive side for Michigan.
You know,
Cornelius Johnson's career has been, this guy's going to be a talented go-to receiver, and it's just been so inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like, every once in a while he has a game where you're like, yeah, he's 6'3 with ridiculously fluid athleticism.
Yeah.
And then this was like the ultimate Cornelius Johnson game. 4 catches, 160 yards, 2 touchdowns, and just toasting everyone.
I put him for made me look stupid. I think it was a couple times.
Yeah, it was
overrated. Yep. or just sliding down the board, drops, not showing up.
You're just trying to put a chip on his shoulder.
It worked. But yeah, that fucking that post corner was just nasty. Like, honestly, I figured it was just me, like, you know, watching it live. I was like, okay, Ohio State fucked up coverage bust, but it was just a disgusting route that he put on. I'm like, holy fuck. This is what he was supposed to look like. And he saved it. He saved it for the biggest game. So hopefully he can keep it going.
For makes me look stupid, I went with Stanford transfer to USC, Austin Jones, who I didn't love at Stanford. And obviously we've talked about numerous times this year before Travis Dye got hurt that, like, when they were in a tough spot, they could really lean on Travis Dye.
Yep.
And I was very concerned when Dye went out for the season that they wouldn't really have much of a running game. The last 2 weeks in their two biggest games of the year, Austin Jones has been incredible, and they really just pounded the hell out of him. And he ran, like, he's 5'10", 201. He was running fucking behind his pads, like an old school thumper. I don't know. I thought that was a hell of a performance after running for a buck, like 11 against UCLA.
I put him for transfer, one of my transfers of the week. I'm right there with you, though. I thought he was pretty jaggy at Stanford, and I'm like, okay, you know, whatever, bind Dye. Like you just said, Dye goes down, and he stepped up huge and ran his ass off. I feel like this is the type of performance that, you know, gets him a look as, you know, maybe like a third down. Not third down, but like a third string back, mix it up type of back. No, that was a big-time performance. I'm right there with you.
And then, obviously, best prospect versus prospect matchup. We go with the trenches of
both
the game.
Both sides of the game. I thought the offensive line kicked ass on both sides. Starting with Michigan, because I don't know if you know, but they won. We talked about Olu. He was a monster. The whole offensive line.
Ryan Hayes had a heck of a game. That guy made me look stupid, too.
Hayes was great. And, like, on the flip side, I didn't even think Zach Harrison was that bad. Like, he had those two PBU.
Solid.
The knockdowns. Had a TFL. I thought he was solid. Not just the trench play, but Eichenberg, I thought he was pretty good. Had a couple, like, really nice open field tackles.
Two-thumb Tommy?
Two-thumb Tommy, yeah. Tommy Two-Thumbs. he wasn't bad either. But just, honestly, Michigan's been a second-half team, but I was still shocked at how ineffective they were in the first half running the ball. And then all of a sudden it just switched. And it felt like Edwards was hesitant in the first half, though, too, you know, with the wrist. Yeah. Anyways, it just flipped. And that offensive line really just showed up huge. And on the other side of the ball, I thought Paris Johnson was awesome. Yep. He just shut down whatever Michigan threw at them. And Mike Morse was clearly not healthy and didn't play the whole game. But the whole rotation, he shut down. I thought DeJuan Jones was, like, solid. Had a couple penalties. Definitely not bad in any regard. Interior was okay. White player's okay.
Yeah, the guards. There was the Matthew Jones, too, but the interior line, meh. I thought Junior Colson had a nice game for Michigan.
Junior Colson did have a really nice game, yeah. No, they totally did. And, yeah, it's just both sides' offensive line showed up big time. And I think Ohio State going away. Chip Traynham, by the way, should be the transfer of the week. But
why has he not been playing running back all year?
I don't know. I was a huge Chip Traynham fan. Do you remember? Like, multiple times as a sophomore I had him. And then I was up. He was supposed to come to Michigan originally, if I remember correctly. And then Ohio State ended up with him. And then they've been playing at linebacker. And then it was like they saved. It's like, this is our physical back. We're saving him for the game. And it was working. And then they just stopped giving it to him.
He really hasn't played very much defense this year. So it's just weird. Like, I don't know if that's he wants to play linebacker and that's the thing. But man, he was an effective physical pounder.
I don't get it because I feel like he's got a future as a guy that can mix it up a bit as a running back.
I know
because
he's as a linebacker, he's kind of short and
stocky. Like, I don't know, like not an NFL type of backer, but
yeah, it's weird.
I love Chip.
We'll see what happens after this. Like, obviously, he's gonna be back in Columbus next year, and Mayan Williams may be gone, and they may need him. But
I think you're filling that Mayan Williams role really nicely.
Or will he take Tommy Eichenberg's job?
One or the other.
I mean, Steel Chambers is a former running back turned linebacker.
That's a good point. Good point. They both got the elite names, so.
Amen. That's what it takes. Prospect who outplayed the box score. Maybe this is a little funny, but I went with Anthony Richardson, who.
You know what? That's a good one, because I wanted to put Richardson somewhere, but I couldn't find anyone. That's a good one.
So, like, when you look at 9 for 27.
Yeah.
198 yards, 3 touchdowns, a pick, and 41 rushing yards. It's just like 9 for 27. The throws he does hit. Whew, holy smokes. Those 3 touchdowns. And, like, the receivers were not
terrible.
I thought Ricky Pearsall's pretty good.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ricky Pearsall, who I actually put for transfer, who popped. They got nothing.
There's so many drops. He could have at least been 14 of 27.
Yeah. Just some of the freaking throws he's making are just he's like one of 5 guys in the country who can make those throws. Like, the amount he can put on a football, like, that arm is freaky. Obviously, the athleticism is freaky. Someone is, I think, going to bet on this, right? Like, if he declares, I don't know if he will. I don't know if he should, but man, it was fun to watch. And then, like, the whole time I was watching, because it was Friday, Black Friday, Thanksgiving, and, like, it's Florida versus Florida State, and it was just really fun to watch the discourse on him.
He is a ton of fun. I can't shake him. I can't shake him, because every time I'm like, I'm out on this guy, he does something awesome. I know. And now I'm going to mention him in a second for overhyped. in a whole thing here, Rob. Don't worry. So we can talk about that in a minute. But my old play of the box score, I cheated. It was Jalen Carter. But I think like every week we could just alternate Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, probably for you know, I know we have it for defensive prospect. We put a lot of new guys, but for I'll play the box score. Had a TFL and a half, but three tackles. I thought like until later into the game, Georgia didn't look good, and that was mainly the offense. But Georgia Tech put the ball a little bit, and then UGA, which like more than they should, you know, like it's more than they should, but. I thought, you know, the one guy that's, you know, is always Jalen Carter is Jalen Carter. Like, he's just disruptive as fuck constantly. And again, mentioned earlier, just seeing who's going to end up being the top dude in this class is going to be so much fun. And I don't think you're going to be like, I don't think anyone should be able to like, oh, arguing back and forth, just pick one or the other. And I think you can't go wrong.
I agree with you. It's going to be fun.
And I think it's going to be fun to see who goes above who, because I think they're going to be 2 and 3 or 3 and 4 or, you know, 2 of the top 4 picks for sure. So.
Going to overhyped, I went with Noah Sewell, who I thought was very meh against Oregon State as Oregon State ran the hell out of the ball. And then I was looking at a mock draft from...
that's the one I mentioned. Wait.
The DraftWire one that you sent me?
Yeah, that was going to be my whole overhyped. Yes, go ahead.
And they had him like 13th overall or something.
Yeah, so my whole overhyped is it's DraftWire. A writer I like a lot, but he had the quarterbacks. He had Will Levis 5th overall to Carolina. Okay, realistic. He had AR-15, our guy Anthony Richardson, 14th to Indy. Again, you said maybe someone bets on him, so whatever. But then he had Mike Penix to Atlanta, who had a fantastic year. Hooker to Washington at 20, maybe realistic, I don't know. And then Bo Nix. It's just like to the Jets, 22. Like, I don't know. I feel like we've moved past this, oh, you know, there's going to be 30 quarterbacks in the first round talk from the summer. And now we're coming back to this. I know it was just one mock draft, but again, he had Sewell up there too. I don't know. But I think the more interesting conversation, like we just left, do you think if Anthony Richardson declares, do you think there's any chance he goes in the first round still?
Yes.
What would you put the percentage at?
Like, if Tanner McKee's people...
He didn't have Tanner McKee either.
I thought that was funny. And, like, I don't know what I put the percentage at, but, like, I don't know, 25%?
It's probably, how about any of the Penix, Hooker, Bo Nix?
Straight up, I would take Anthony Richardson in the first round over Will Levis, I think.
Okay, I don't want to get too deep because we got a lot of Levis stands listening. I don't see the difference between the two players. Like, if you're going to say...
One of them's younger, more athletic, and has a bigger arm.
There you go. I know, exactly. It's not Will Levis.
Save it. We got way more quarterback discourse to get to.
Let's get through this show. You're right.
Transfers who popped on the scene. I put Ricky Pearsall, Arizona State transfer, and Antoine Juice Wells, the James.
Our guy. I love Juice Wells, baby. I put Austin Jones going to USC from Stanford. Also put JJ Pegas, who was a name I've never...
He caught touchdown.
He caught, yeah. Converted from tight end to defensive line at Auburn. Go ahead.
Do you remember when he ran the Wildcat for the Auburn?
Yes, it was the best. And now he's at Ole Miss. He played a solid game at IDL, had a TFL and a batted ball. And then he did up to his old trick, catching touchdowns. It was great. Everyone was so happy. I loved it. Just one touchdown, 1 yard, one catch. Great. So I just wanted to give him the shout out.
All right. Small school guy, Tyjae Spears, who you got?
I went with Carl Brooks, the Bowling Green defensive lineman. The program apparently comps him to Reggie White. That's a good take. I got to put him here then. He looked pretty good. Like he's like 6'4", 300.
He looked like Reggie?
He looked like Reggie, 6'4", 300. They rush him off the edge a lot. He'd probably be like inside if he gets to the next level. Had a sack. 10 sacks on the year. Productive guy. Someone to watch.
All right. Finally, we're to our championship week picks. Week 13, I went 2-3, 32-30-2 on the season.
I went 3-2. I shouldn't have flipped on that Cincy Tulane game. Oregon State and Michigan brought me home, though. I'm 29-35-2, but I'm going 11-0 this week. So.
Oh, that's impressive. I didn't actually pick Akron Buffalo, just so we're clear.
We don't have to, but it's also not on TV, which I respect.
Is it on ESPN Plus?
I don't know. I looked on ESPN.
No, they're just making all these kids go there.
I think it's not being broadcasted, which is appropriate, I think.
I mean, really shows that the Maction kids love football.
Exactly. If you want to see this game, you better be there. And if you don't, you're not. Period.
Speaking of games I want to see, Conference USA Championship, Friday, 8 p.m. on the CBS Sports Network. Couldn't even put them on regular CBS. North Texas at UTSA. Our Roadrunners quietly got another 10-win season under Jeff Traylor. I love bowl season because we finally get to talk about schools like this.
That yeah. Love.
UTSA, 8-point favorites. North Texas was dealing with the potential firing of Seth Luttrell, but then he made the Conference USA Championships, so now they can't really fire him. Really weird. Don't forget, former Yankees pitcher Austin Ohn is the quarterback of North Texas.
I feel like that's not been a talked about enough story this year. But yeah.
Nope. And he's still got another year of eligibility.
Let's
he's 29 and married. Defensive side of the ball, North Texas has linebacker Katie Davis, who we enjoy. Our Roadrunners have a great pass-catching group, including Zachary Franklin and Joshua Cephas. Frank Harris was quietly, like, if there was a G5 Heisman winner, it might be him. I'm going to run with the Roadrunners because no one can stop that passing attack.
Oh, UTSA by 100. They're covering easy. This is the biggest blowout of championship week.
Seth Luttrell wins this game and then gets fired.
Yeah, that's right. Correct.
Going to the Pac-12 Championship Friday night, 8 p.m. Fox. Number 11, Utah against number 4, USC in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Trojans 3-point favorites in the rematch. Obviously, Utah won on the 2-point conversion 43-42 earlier in the season. Does USC win the game, make the playoff, get redemption for the loss?
Yes, they do. But as much as I want to believe the Pac-12 bungles this, USC minus 3, look, it is in Vegas, and Vegas might be up to their old tricks, but it seems like a very good pick. Just the way USC is playing right now, I don't see them dropping this one. Caleb Williams is too damn good.
Agree. Utah also had starting running back Tavion Thomas.
Yeah.
Opt out of the rest of the year. Cam Rising coming off some questionable performances. I mean, prospect-wise, really fun to get to watch some Clark Phillips, Jordan Addison again. Braden Daniels and your boy Tully going head-to-head a little bit. I'm with you, though. I don't think USC fucks this up.
It feels like these teams have kind of gone in opposite directions. Like, I know Utah's still there, but since Utah beat them, yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, this, I don't know. It just, USC seems too serious. Like, they're not one of the Pac-12 teams that would, they're not Oregon.
Exactly.
MAC Championship, the only game that matters to either of us. Noon ESPN on Saturday. Toledo versus Ohio in Detroit, Michigan. The Rockets are 2-point favorites against the Bobcats, who are without Oakville's finest, Curtis Rourke at quarterback, who is out for the season. Jason Candle was kind of on the hot seat, but now is in the MAC Championship. His name keeps surfacing for every mediocre head coaching opening for some reason. I'm going to ride the Rockets.
Oh, ho, ho.
I think Daquan Finn being the most talented quarterback in the MAC. Oh, if Ohio had Rourke, I would take them. Yes,
I know. I know you would.
And defensively, Toledo's got some players in Jamal Hines, Dallas Gant.
I think this is the toughest pick of the weekend. I'm going to say that. But I'm gonna keep on with the Cats. Ohio's gotta win something this year, Rob. I think they're gonna pull through. I know Rourke is out and that hurts, but CJ Harris didn't look bad against Bowling Green last week. Ran for 3 touchdowns. Bangura, the running back, is always productive.
Sam Dubs.
Sam Dubs is always scoring, baby. Jacoby Jones is fun too. The other receiver. I'm gonna stick with the Cats. I think they're gonna pull it off. The team of destiny in the MAC this year.
I like us taking opposing sides in this this of all the championships.
We're gonna agree on the rest, but this is the one that matters.
Yeah, this will be the one that breaks our tie. Big 12 championship, maybe the best of the championship games.
I think it's gotta be
noon ABC. Number 10 Kansas State
playing number 3 TCU in Arlington, Texas.
Jerry's World.
In Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium. Horned Frogs are 2.5-point favorites. The health of Quentin Johnston's important.
Yeah.
Assuming him and Kendre Miller are healthy, I'm riding TCU. This is a very Kansas State thing to do, would be to win this game.
Yeah, it would be.
It'd be bad for the Big 12. I don't think Will Howard's going to be able to do it. I think Max Duggan, for all his warts, is he does a good job giving his receivers a chance downfield. He's a very, very talented runner.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think TCU's got a couple different dogs in each at each level. We got Dylan Horton on the D-line, D Winners at linebacker, Trevius Hodges Tomlinson in the secondary. I'm going to ride with TCU.
Yeah, I'm going to too. I feel like TCU, if they're going to bungle it, they wouldn't have dropped 60 on Iowa State. You know, like 2.5, I think they're going to cover. I think they're going to win, obviously. Yeah, they're pulling off. I'm Team of Destiny, I'm saying. They'll beat Michigan. They'll win the Natty.
Sun Belt Championship, 3:30 p.m. on ESPN. Coastal Carolina at Troy. Troy winning 10 games in John Summerall's first season at the helm. Coastal just got blown up by James Madison. They were without Grayson McCall. We don't know if he's playing yet. Coastal's 10.5-point dogs at Troy.
I feel like this whole line rides on Grayson McCall.
Yeah.
If McCall plays, I'll take Coastal plus the points. I mean, I don't know what the line would fall at if McCall's in, but if he's in, I'm taking Coastal to win outright. If not, I'm taking Troy to cover.
It's a really fun game because Troy's a really good defensive team. They've got the all-time tackling leader in Carlton Marshall.
Yeah, baby.
And Coastal obviously runs the spread option, and it's a blast the way Jimmy Chadwell runs that thing. But Grayson McCall is the key. I'm going to go with Coastal. I don't – like, we have to pick one or the other regardless of what's happening. I'm going to lean on – I just feels wrong for me to pick against the Shots. 10.5 is a lot of points.
10.5 is a lot of points. I thought I saw it smaller. So, but I'm gonna say with Troy. I'm going to go Troy, Team of Destiny in the Sun Belt this year. If McCall was in, it would be different. But, no, I'm going to go with the Trojans.
SEC Championship, 4 p.m., CBS.
The game that don't matter.
Until LSU wins it. Number 14 LSU against number 1 Georgia in Atlanta at the Superdome. Who you got? Georgia's 17.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I got Georgia.
I got Georgia. I don't know. How much do we need to say?
Let's move on to the real game.
To the real game. The Mountain West Championship, low-key good. 4 p.m. Fox. Yeah. Two teams that at points, different points this season looked like they were tripping up.
Yeah,
and for now real. They're both yeah. The Mountain West kind of a down year, but both these teams rebounded. We got Fresno State at Boise State. I'm not gonna pick against Boise State at home.
No, this Smurf Turf love is Jake Haner, difference. But
yeah.
-3. Give me the Broncos. Buck up.
Jake Haner is literally like when he got hurt, it looked like Fresno State's season was over. He came back. He's that's my dude, but. Yeah, I don't know. It's also worth mentioning Boise State quarterback Taylen Green, who took over for Hank Bachmeyer, is a 6'6 freak athlete. We had like a 90-yard touchdown run this past week and just won Freshman of the Year in the Mountain West. Really fun player. This is going to be a fun game, I think.
Imagine if Jake Haner went to Washington. I know that's so random, but...
He would have put up numbers.
He would have won the Heisman.
4 p.m. ABC AAC Championship, a rematch with number 22 UCF at number 18 Tulane. The Green Wave seeking revenge for their loss. Green Wave 3.5-point favorites at home. I've ridden the Green Wave all season. Yeah. I'm not stopping now.
Yeah, I can't believe I got off them last week. That was embarrassing for me. They're not losing again in New Orleans, baby. Go Green Wave.
The ACC championship, which at one like 3 weeks ago looked like winner would make the playoff. Now there's no way either team makes the playoff. The 8 p.m. ABC, number 9 Clemson against number 23 North Carolina in Charlotte. North Carolina 7.5-point dogs to Clemson, but I'm gonna take the Tar Heels. I feel like either way, like you feel bad making the pick.
It's so true.
DJ Uiagalelei looked terrible this past week again. Yeah. But obviously North Carolina choked against NC State after choking against Georgia Tech. I don't know. It's gonna be fun in terms of seeing Drake May against this Clemson front.
Exactly. But yeah.
I guess that's why you watch.
I'm gonna take, you know, six good Clemson players, seven, whatever the fuck they got there, against just Drake May and Downs. You know, and I'm gonna take Clemson minus the points. Just that the supporting cast isn't enough, and the UNC defense isn't good. Yeah, that's it.
You're already pretending Drake May is bad, like you think Justin Herbert's bad.
I definitely thought Justin Herbert was bad.
You call him a social media quarterback?
Well, that's true, but that doesn't mean he's bad.
All right.
The only game that matters.
The Big Ten Championship, 8 p.m. Fox. Purdue made it.
Yeah, baby.
Iowa in the biggest choke of the century lost to Nebraska to miss out on the Big Ten Championship.
Iowa took one for the conference.
I'm so happy.
Give them the due. Yeah, they did.
Purdue versus number 2 Michigan at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. Wolverine 16.5-point favorites. Michigan's going to cover. But the reason to watch is
Aiden O'Connell
and Charlie Jones on Purdue's offense. Defensively, your guy Corey Trice is a fun player at corner for the Boilermakers. I don't know. Sick.
I'll take Michigan to cover. Go Blue, you know
what's fun? It's fun is, like, Purdue's probably going to throw the ball 60 times. Michigan will run it 60 times.
Yeah.
Charlie Jones will, like, Purdue's going to lose by 50. Charlie Jones will have 300 receiving yards, though.
Probably. Yeah, I'm sure. I bet you O'Connell and Jones have a good game. I think they will. It just.
But like, still lose by, like, 4 touchdowns?
Yeah, I bet. My prediction is this game will be close in the first half, and Michigan will pull away in the second half and cover.
That's a good bet. I think this is going to be a big, like, Charlie Jones moment game.
Which is what we've all been waiting for.
Okay. I mean, it does feel right that, like, Iowa choked it away. Iowa had Charlie Jones. Charlie Jones is, like, a Biletnikoff finalist once he got out of that hellish program.
Exactly. And got with your guy Jeff Brohm and West Lafayette.
Mm-hmm. My other guy, Aiden O'Connell. I would rather see Michigan beat down Iowa again, but I'm just happy to see my Boilermakers there. It's going to be a lot of Purdue fans in the crowd there. It's a close trip.
And that's all she wrote. Can't wait till championship weekend.